Hey, welcome to the podcast of the Mission Del Rey, the spirit-filled multicultural church located in Delray Beach, Florida. You can find more about the mission and Pastor Carl Thomas at www.themissiondelray.com.
The title of my message today is How to Be a Great Friend. How to be a great friend. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 20. And the Word of God says, "Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, 'What do you want?' She said to him, 'Say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom.' Jesus answered, 'You don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?' They said to him, 'We are able.' He said to them, 'You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father.' And then the 10 heard it. They were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave.'" Amen? Amen. So we're starting this relationship series. We're starting a series, Extreme Relationship Makeover. And what do we need a makeover for? Well, it's easy if you don't have a goal in life to just wander through life. It's easy just to whatever happens, happens, and not have a plan. But I believe God wants us to live our lives intentionally. Every part of our life should be intentional. And behind every conflict in relationships, between every personal conflict, every person that you have a conflict with, every person that you're having issues with in any area of your life, the root of the conflict is a power struggle. It's a power struggle. Who's going to have more power? You see, there's a concept called a zero-sum game. Anybody ever heard of that? Zero-sum game? It's an applied mathematical term. It's a whole branch of applied mathematics, and they also use it in social science. But it basically means this. A zero-sum game means that in order for you to get something, I have to lose something. In order for me to gain something, you have to lose something. Does that make sense? It's like there's only, you know, four marbles in the world. And if I have two and I want to get another one, I got to get it from someone else. Does that make sense? I have to take it for any time for me to win in any situation, you have to be at a loss or somebody has to lose. And in order for you to win, everybody else has to lose. You get that concept, right? It's called a zero-sum game. There's always a winner and there's always a loser in every conflict. You with me so far? There's always a winner and always a loser. And that's how the world looks at things. That's how the world approaches relationships and conflicts. That's how our carnal nature views things. Right? Now, there's times in life where we choose to respect other people. Sometimes people have done such great things, we have to respect them. We have no choice but to respect them. Maybe it's a great athlete who's done, just has just some super, supernatural almost abilities that can do things that I could never do, and everybody has to respect him. Or maybe it's your boss. Your boss gives you money, and in return, you have to admit, okay, I have to respect him because he pays me money. And since I want to continue to earn money, I have to give him respect. Or maybe your friends have shown you so much love, you have to respect that. Since they've given me so much, I have to give you respect in return. But I want to teach you the difference between respect and honor. I want to teach you the difference between respect and honor. Respect is earned. Honor is freely given. Respect is earned. Honor is freely given. There's many people that I honor the gift of God in them. I don't respect how they've stewarded it. There's people that I honor the gift of God in them. I don't respect how they've stewarded it. You see, honor is not just words. Respect is often just verbal. Respect is often just something you say to people, or maybe nice words you say in front of other people. Maybe you speak kindly of them and you show them respect. But that's not the same as honor. Jesus even talked about this in Matthew chapter 15. He said, "The people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. If your heart is not honoring people, you've not actually honored them. That's respect. Are you understanding this? You see, this power struggle, it's part of our carnal nature. It's part of the animal instinct in human beings separated from God. It's part of our kill or be killed mentality. It's part of our, I'm fearful that you'll get what I need, so I have to take it from you or keep you from getting it. And so many men struggle with this in one way, where we have to be the alpha male, the top dog, the one that people look to, the one with all the respect. It's our carnal nature. If I don't get the meat from you, then you might eat my meat, and so I'll starve. Therefore, I'm competing with you for these. Does this make sense? Yeah? So that's part of our carnal nature. Here's the good news for you today. Jesus, when he came to earth, he settled the power struggle. He settled it. Here's what he said. I am the alpha male. I conquered death. Now you are children of God. When people are joined in the same vision and want to promote the same vision, there's no longer a power struggle because we're on the same team. If you're on a basketball team, you want everybody on the team to score as many points as possible. People who want to hog the ball, they don't bring them back on the team because we have a goal in mind. Right? We're on the same squad here. See, God is great and we worship him. Therefore, the power struggle this way is over. We all just focus on Jesus. He conquered the power struggle. You see, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 that we were created in his image. And since we are created in the image of God, that we are to emulate him on the earth. Jesus is not struggling for power. Jesus walks in the power God has given him. The Pharisees thought they were having a power struggle with Jesus. He never entered into that power struggle. Y'all catch this? Come on, prove to me you can do miracles. Prove to me you can do this. He's like, yeah, I don't really care if you believe or not. That's on you. I'm not entering into this debate. To enter into the debate is to say that there's another side to what you're saying. But what you're saying is false, and so I don't need to engage it. I have nothing to prove. You know, and this is the revelation God wants us to walk in our relationships. You see, I am not a life coach. I'm not a conference speaker. What I say by that is I'm not someone we can just get together and have self-help classes and at the end you feel better about yourself. That's not who I am. I'm not a therapist. I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's all I can do. All I'm called to do is look in this word, find Jesus and tell you about him. That's all I can do today. So I'm not able to come here and tell you, you know, the 15 steps to repairing relationships. I don't have the 9 dynamics of happy couplehood. What I say is repent and be converted. Okay. That's what I'm called to do. Now, sometimes we don't recognize where we need to repent and be converted. And that's what I hope to do today. We're going to get the enemy out of our relationships in this message series. We're going to get the enemy out of our relationships in this message series. Amen? I mean, if Jesus came that we can have relationship, it's probably pretty important to him. Not only that, he has empowered us to have good relationships. He would never call us to do something he's not empowered us to do. So if your marriage is nasty right now, guess what? Jesus has made a way for it to be better. If you have problems with friends, and Jesus has a way for you to have healthy friendships. If your relationship is bound in sin, he's given you a way to repent of that and stop being bound in sin in your relationships. Amen? So in this message series, we're going to talk today just about being a super friend. We're going to talk about marriage relationships. We're going to talk about relationships with our children. We're going to talk about different dynamics in this series about relationships. And ultimately, as we get these things worked out, our relationship with God. Amen? God is good. Amen? Point number one, how to have better relationships, how to be a super friend. This one's deep. I spent a long time prayer and fasting to get this one. I believe this is a revelation from heaven. Number one, you ready? Stop sinning against your friends. That right there will just revolutionize many people's relationships. Stop sinning against your friends. Notice in Matthew, that scripture we read, Matthew 20, verse 20. Notice in that day, you know, people didn't promote themselves. They had other people promote them. That's how the socio-political system worked. And so it's safe to assume that these guys put their mother up to promoting them with Jesus. Right? Now, if we're doing this, promoting ourselves, trying to put other people down, that's not good. We don't have healthy relationships from that. That doesn't work. It's you know, the number one thing you got to do in your relationships is stop trying to promote yourself above other people. Now watch this. Gossip, slander, these are sins. Why do we do it? What's the goal of gossiping about people? Why do we do it? Well, here's what it is. It's that zero-sum game. I got to hang out with other people and put you down to make me look better. See, I can't on my own just be a good person because for whatever reason, I'm incapable of doing that. But what I can do is make everybody look smaller. That's what you do when you gossip about people. I know you think they're great, but they're not as great as me. Let me tell you why. That's the root of gossip. That's the underlying premise. And you may not, no, Pastor, that's not my heart. It really is, though, because you wouldn't want to make people look bad if that weren't your heart. That's not what Jesus came to do. I hear people, how do I say this? We have a rule, a prophetic rule in this church. If you're going to get prophetic words, we just believe that God is not a gossip. He's not walking around telling some of his kids bad things about other kids. So if you think you got a word about, you know, these bad things people are doing, go cleanse your heart. I don't want to hear them, and you're not going to go rebuke people. What I want you to do is, if you actually think God talked to you about something somebody's doing, I want you to tarry in prayer until you get the blessing. Because the only reason God would show that is because he wants to do something positive in their life. We don't allow gossip in this church. We just don't allow it. And I like when people come to me and they want to tell me bad things about other pastors in town as if I'm ready to gossip about the church down the street. I mean, I know that's shocking, but it happens all the time. And people think, I want to be in with this church, and so I'll gossip about my pastor. This pastor say, oh, good, you don't think they're as good as me. Wow, that makes me feel, I'm not that insecure. I'm just not that insecure. There's some wonderful, wonderful churches in South Florida. There's some just incredible ministers of God in South Florida. I'm called to do something a little different than most of them. I'm okay with that. I mean, there was a senior pastor who passed away this weekend from Spanish River Church. Anybody familiar with that church, Spanish River Church? Awesome. Not my style of worship. Not my style of church, not what I'm called to do. But the man preached the gospel every week. He's planted over 150 churches. That's significant. We don't have 150 people here. And as much as I'd love to gossip with you about his service, how it's not that great, that would, you know, I mean, come on now. We just need a little bit of intellectual honesty here. You know, I sent a message to their board, you know, to his board. Hey, you know, I heard he passed away. My condolences, you know, just a great man in the kingdom has passed. You know, a giant of the faith has passed. He's gone on to be to receive his reward. And I truly believe that. We can be different, okay, and bless one another and still be great. We're great because we're following Jesus. That's what makes me great. whether 100 million people follow me in that or not, whether 1 million people believe that I am or not, I don't need to tear other ministers down to make me follow my call. That doesn't mean I'm following my call because I want you to believe that everybody else is, you know, no good. I had a pastor, Pastor Melissa came, her church is in Jupiter. We have people who come here from West Palm. Now, logic tells you, if you have people come here from West Palm, you don't have a minister come from Jupiter. Because they might like her and go there. If that's where you're called to, go there. I'm not trying to tear other people down to make me look good, because all that does is make me look bad. James said it this way. He said, and the tongue is a fire, he said. It's a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. He's talking about people who gossip. You're setting the fire of hell on earth. I don't want that. Proverbs tells us a perverse person stirs up conflict, and gossip separates close friends. You want to be a close friend? Quit gossiping about your friends. Stop gossiping about your friends. And you know how you extend that? You know it takes two people to gossip, right? It takes two people to gossip. One to talk and one to listen. So when someone comes to you, oh, she was gossiping about you. She said this, she said that. Really, how do you know? How'd you know she was saying that? What? You didn't say nothing when she was talking bad about me like that? Oh, okay. To me, it's cool when people are gossipers, because then you know who you can trust. It's like God has set a little, you know, he puts like a big mark on them so you know who to trust and who not to trust. Okay, they're gossiping to me about other people. You see, you got to recognize if someone is gossiping to you about other people, they're going to gossip to other folks about you. Either people are trustworthy or they're not trustworthy. Does that make sense? Either they're trustworthy or they are not trustworthy. A gossip is a gossip is a gossip is a gossip. A slanderer is a slanderer. People who sin against their friends will sin against you. You know, ladies, you don't let your man hang out with a woman who messes around with other people's man, right? Why? Because they go, you know, I mean, you just can't trust them with your man. I mean, this is not rocket science, right? Any ladies ever had to say to your man, I don't want you anywhere near that girl right there. I trust you. I do not trust her. I don't want you nowhere near her. You hear me? Not the same bus stop. She's in public. She go to Winn-Dixie. I don't want you. I don't want in the room with that one. And fellas, you know what you say? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You a jerk. You a jerk. No. I mean, this isn't rocket science. This is foundational Christianity. It's foundational Christianity. If someone's goal is to tear other people down to make them feel better, that's not a super friend. That's not what we're going for. And what you have to do is we have to figure out, well, you know, why am I doing this? Why does this happen? Because, Pastor, that's part of my life. And many of you, that's your testimony. Just your testimony is when you came to Christ, this is who you were. This is how you conducted relationships. This is what you knew. All your friends were gossips. And there's this ghetto mentality. You know, it's like crabs in a bucket tearing each other down. No one gets to get up. No one gets to get up out of the bucket. Everybody's trying to pull other people down to their level, fearful that other people are going to get somewhere. Point number two. Deal with your own insecurities. Deal with your own insecurities. As we look in our scripture in Matthew chapter 20, we see in verse 24, the other disciples, they were indignant. They were indignant. They didn't like the idea of other people seeking promotion because they felt like it would be at their expense. They felt like it would be at their expense. They really didn't trust Jesus. They were mad at the other disciples. They thought that Jesus would pick them, the two brothers, instead of them. Oh, you're stealing my opportunity. Oh, now, oh, pastor picked you to do that. Now I'm never going to be used by God. Who are you trusting? Who's your source? Oh, I can't let her look good to the boss because then I'll never get a promotion. Who writes your paycheck? If you're trusting your employer with your finances, I'm here to let you know. There's a limit to that. I would tell my employers, oh, I like this check that Jesus had you write to me, because he don't write my check. Jesus signs my paycheck. Who's your source today? Who's your source of promotion? Who's your source of the anointing? I've seen people in contests of who's going to get more anointed. As if Jesus only has, 10 buckets, and if I get 6 and he's only going to get 4, Many times we feel like we have to be respected because we're fearful. We're fearful of being disrespected. We're fearful. We're scared. We're scared that if people don't see us as the great anointed person or the great friend or the best singer or the best looking or the best dressed, then what does that really mean about me? We have insecurities. We have insecurities. Oh, I saw her at the gym. She has cellulite all over her leg. Did you know? That's why she wears those leggings all the time. It's too bad. Let's pray for her. Man, I'm glad that we're here in the anointing. Let's just, this is just a prayer request, but I saw him and let's pray for John because, I don't want to gossip about him, but, well, don't. Just pray in tongues. God knows. I'm happy that I'm single, because, Joey and Susie are, they're having some marriage things. And I'm just glad that, let's just pray for them. Let's lift them up to Jesus right now because I want there to be strong marriages, not like those kind that are, just for the house. Let's just, it's, just for the house. I don't want to, Come on. Why? It's got to send a red light off in your head. You got to be able to say, I hear what they're saying, man. There's something wrong with this person. They have an insecurity. It's an indication of spiritual immaturity, of insecurity, of problems. We got problems. Now, listen, close friends pray for friends. You can get so goofy on this that we don't care what's going on in anybody's life. And you need pastoral counsel on how to deal with conflicts, and it's possible to take the gossip thing so far that you isolate yourself in everything you see. That's not what I'm talking about. If we got 4 really good friends and the 3 of us know that the 4th one is bound in sin and saying, hey, dude, we gotta go to John and we gotta, see what the heck is going on here. There's a difference between that and tearing people down. You hear what I'm saying? You can get so goofy that you don't help anybody because you call it. No, I'm not talking about isolate. I'm talking about you have to overcome your insecurities and actually make sure your heart is right toward people. You see, I don't even know if I'm making sense here. I'm not sure that what I'm even saying makes sense. But in the Bible, honor is weight. Honor carries value in the Bible. There's something to honor, that there's a power behind it. When you withhold honor, you're robbing God. Let me tell you why. We were created in the image of God, like I said. And what I choose to do as a minister of the gospel, as a Christian, is I try to see that each person was made in God's image. And I want to honor the gift of God in each person. Now, just because you're not using it for God's glory right now doesn't mean I can't honor what God did in you. Now, I look at some secular artists and I'm like, wow, the gift of God in them is unbelievable. Just how they were created by my God to make that art is unreal. The way that some people just hear music, I'm just like, that is unbelievable. The way some people can make paintings or they can just, you know, run a business. Just the intellectual ability to discover things in science. I mean, I give glory to God for the ability for these people to do that. Because God created them. God created these people. And those gifts that they're using came from God. I can honor that. I may not respect what they've chosen to use that gift for, but I don't have to walk around disrespecting everybody. This makes sense? Has anybody in here studied economics? Economics will blow your mind. It's just the complexity of it. And I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that he's gifted some people in their minds to have our economy. As crazy as it is, we're not running around bashing in people's head to steal their bread. You know what I mean? And I thank Jesus that he has people running our economy so we can do that. Now, I wish they did it to the glory of God, but I thank Jesus that he's put those gifts in people. By me saying, you know, these secular mathematicians, these secular musicians, these secular artists, these secular politicians, by me saying, man, that's awesome what God has done in this person. By me recognizing that, I then have to turn my heart from judging them. I no longer judge them. I honor the gift in them. Now I can approach them with a concept of honor, hoping that I can one day respect how they're living their lives for Jesus. This makes sense? People come to the mission and they have, as the pastor, it's my job to recognize the gift of God in them. That's what I do for a living. I see the gift of God in people. I try to redeem it, anoint it, and get it in its place. Now, there's people who come to the mission and they say, I have this gift, I'm going to use it how I want. Well, I honor the gift, I honor how, but I don't respect how you're using it, and I cannot allow you to function in this house with that gift. I don't need to disrespect them and start telling people, awesome singer, man, yeah, wow, I just wish they didn't have that issue with their wife, or, you know, then I could have them sing, you know. Pastor, did you hear? They got this gift of healing, when they preach, yeah, man, that's, woo, man, I know he's so, too bad he's got that Jezebel spirit on him, and then I don't got to disrespect people. I mean, if you trust me to be the pastor, you trust me to be the pastor. If you honor me as the man of God that God has put in charge of this house, then you just got to believe that God has me putting people where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there. If you don't, then you don't, and, you know, you can choose a house that you respect the leader. But I'm not going to disrespect people. I'm not going to disrespect people that God brings to this house just so you can trust my leadership. I'm secure in the role God has me in. Whether you recognize that or hear me on this. This isn't a in your face, I don't care. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I'm secure in where I'm at in Christ. I'm secure that God has me here. And I don't need, I mean, if a million people told me one thing and God said something else, I'm going with God. And so I don't need everybody to give me a pat on the back and say, oh, that was a good decision, not having this person, you know, do a dance or, you know, that, letting that person share a testimony. I don't require that. I got to follow Jesus. Why am I telling you this? In your life, you got to get free of everybody's opinion. You got to get free of living for everybody's opinion. You got to get free of that. You can't let that control every decision that you make in your life. Some of you sit up at night thinking, what did I say this? Did I do that? Oh my gosh, I can't wear this because get free of the judgment. I'm here to let you know the Holy Ghost has come to set you free of man's judgment. The Holy Ghost has come to set you free of man's judgment. In the kingdom, there is peace. You know that peace is one third of the kingdom. My Bible says righteousness, peace, and joy. Peace is a third of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Be in peace. This is who I am. Some people just got to recognize this is who I am. I'm not tall like that person. I'm not fast like that person. But my God made me, and I'm made in His image. I'm made in His likeness. He looked upon me and said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. I am His beloved and He is mine. I like who I am. In the name. You come to a place in your walk where you get a revelation that I am exactly how God wanted me to be made. The King of glory made me just like this. If the world don't recognize my beauty, that's their problem. I'm not trying to change God's creation to make them happy. I just, you know, if you love Jesus, you would see how beautiful I am. That's how I like to look at it. My wife loves Jesus. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, I joke, but there's an understanding that I am secure in Christ. I don't have to put other people down for me to have value. I don't have to steal other people's marbles for me to have marbles. It's not a zero-sum game. You don't have to be lower for me to be higher. You get this? Sometimes we have these insecurities because we really got problems that we're trying to overcome. We try to cover them up. Paul said to the church in Rome, he said, I tell you, in Romans 12, he says, I tell you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think with sober judgment. The way some of you represent yourselves, I think you're drunk. You know, he said, use sober judgment. Sober judgment. Just got to get real at some point. I hear some people, how do I say this? Some people are just not musicians. Some people like to rap. And I hear it, I'm like, that's really good for you. I know all your homies are saying you're the next Lil Wayne, but sober judgment. And that's okay. It's okay. It's okay, you know? You ever hear about, oh, I'm thinking about going out for American Idol. Is there another show than the one I see on TV? Because you're just not that good. I mean, can you just say that these days and not be offended? Dude, you're just not that, you know? You're just not that. I mean, we have auditions for our worship team because so many churches are scared to say, man, you're awesome. You're a great singer for down there. And I hope you sing as loud and as happy as you want to. But if you're going to be on the mic, you should be able to sing. Not everybody can sing well. And that's okay. It's okay. I mean, I want to sing really awesome. And I'll just sing kind of awesome, you know? In the bathroom, you know? The Holy Ghost loves my singing, so it's just a solo adventure, you know? We got to be able to be real with ourselves, though. We got to be able to be real. We got to be able to say, okay, I'm just not that good here, and I'm not going to go home and, you know, stay in bed and be sad about it. I'm now required to go find my talent because God made me with value. God made me with value. And your pride keeps you from seeing the real value God has for you. It sets you up for destruction. The proverb says it. Before destruction, a man's heart is haughty or prideful. But humility comes before honor. You want to be honored in your relationships? Then you have to incorporate a certain amount of humility. You have to be humble. You got to quit being prideful. Many people aren't giving you the honor you feel you deserve because they don't want to pump up your pride. And it just is what it is. We got to learn. We got to learn to be humble. John told us that Jesus said that the poor in spirit would inherit the kingdom of heaven. We talked about that. If I have everything, how can God give me more? There has to be a certain level of I have not achieved it all yet. I am not there yet. And the Bible says, as I humble myself, he will exalt me. As I humble myself, he will exalt me. So what are we learning? So far we're learning, okay, if I want to be a super friend, I will stop sinning against the people in my life. Okay, there's a good start right there. That would rock the world right there if we just, everybody just did that. That right there would rock the world. Number two, we would deal with our own insecurities. We wouldn't constantly be getting our insecurities and projecting them onto other people. Number three, we're going to choose to look at the good in people. We're going to choose to look at the good in people. Jesus said, look, in our scripture that we've been studying, he says, look, you know that the rulers and the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great must be your servant. Whoever wants to be great must be your servant. Well, that doesn't make no sense. I'm going to serve everybody else. That makes them great. No, the kingdom is upside down. The greatest shall be the least. The first shall be last. You're not going to be judged in this planet on how many people bless you. You're going to be judged when you leave this planet on how many people you bless. How many people you bless. You can't say, well, Billy Graham led me to Christ. That makes me greater than Billy Graham. That's just silly, right? Right? But that's the world's mentality. If a great person gives me a gift or recognizes me, it makes me great. No, that's not how it works. It's not, you know, who's serving you. It's who are you serving? You want to be great? You find the least and you serve them. I mean, it's easy. It's easy to find a pop star and say, look, I'm associated with them. Look how great I am. That makes you great? This fallen carnal nature says, if I'm associated with great people, that makes me great. But the kingdom, not so. Jesus said, who is the greatest one? He says, the one who crossed the street and helped the man on the side of the road who was beat up and nobody would go near him because he's a low class. That was the great one. You want to be great in the kingdom of God? Find someone that people don't want to associate with and associate with them. Think back to high school. I mean, some of you, that's like a bad thought. Me, it's just not a woohoo. It's, oh, gosh. I try to tell high school students all the time. I'm like, man, you want to start a revival at your school? You want to win people to Christ? Go to the nerds table. I mean, some of y'all, I'm already there. What do I do now, Pastor? You know? Been there for years, no revival. Go into lunch, find the kid sitting by himself, win him to Christ. Find the outcast, the depressed, win them to Christ. You want to start revival? Oh, we're going to win the football team. I bumped the football team. Let's win the math club. That's not as cool. Well, you know, that's probably the kingdom then. We're going to win the cheerleaders. Why? So you can be cool like them? I look back to high school. I'm like, man, I wish I were saved. I wish I had some sort of kingdom perspective and I wasn't involved in the high school drama. If I didn't have the funk of being a teenager. If I could have had a kingdom mindset. It's easy, right? You look back to high school, isn't it easy? You look back and you're like, man, I could have done so much, right? You with me? If I could have just honored the people that nobody else honored, imagine the favor I would have with them. Right? Is everybody with me? Can everybody see that? There's people who are outcasts, and if I just would have honored them and gained favor, the influence I could have had. Okay? Y'all got that, right? You get this image? I want you to think 10 years from now, what you'll be wishing you did right now. Who would you be honoring right now? Oh, it's easy to look back and say, I shoulda, coulda, woulda. Let's put the axe to the grinding stone. Who right now are you looking down on that you could probably win to Christ if you just honored them? Who could you be a super friend to? Jesus said that we're the light of the world. What does that mean? Doesn't mean that we're the great pure ones. It means we bring revelation to those in darkness. We are the light of the world. Jesus is the light of men. We are the light of the world. We get our light from him and we shine it in the dark places of the earth. I am the light of the world. When you honor those who are outcast, you are the light of the world. I see people standing outside of abortion clinics and yelling at them. I'm like, man, you got it all wrong. You got it all wrong. You're judging. They're killing their children and you're telling them they're already in judgment. That's why they're killing their children. They're away from God. Are you stupid? Come on. Wonder if you went to an abortion clinic and you served them food. Wow, I know you're in a hard time right now. We got some free food here. Do you need any counseling? A lot of Christians like to throw rocks at people getting abortions. Not a whole lot of Christians are willing to support them in their pregnancy. Oh, we care about the woman a lot when she's pregnant. But then you can just live in poverty. Okay, woohoo, we won one. To what? Man, I'm envisioning a Christianity that cares about pregnant women after they're no longer pregnant. Imagine if we could just honor the broke in our society. Imagine if we can, I look at the church today and I'm like, they get all intertwined with politics and they want to kick out immigrants? I'm like, you think God is really on that? You think there's an anointing on coming against? Have you read the Bible? Have you read what the Bible says about immigrants? So, the law says, did you hear what Jesus said about the law? Did you catch that at all? I'm not in the immigrant debate. I'm not in that. But I know that, immigrants are really people. Last time I checked, there's still people created in God's image. Are you serious? Is this where the church in America is today? The only way we can make ourselves more powerful is to beat up on immigrants? And pregnant single women? Really? Is that really where we're going to get our righteousness from? Really? How about we just be honest about why we went to war? How about we start there? Let's just start there. Let's just be honest. Let's just clean up the lies that we've been telling. I'm getting too political. I'm about to stop. But that's just, come on. Can we just be honest? Maybe if we humble ourselves. I love America. I've served in the military. I love America. But I love Jesus more. I love the truth more than anything. And one day, guess what? The American flag will not be standing and the kingdom of God will be here. And I want to live there. Okay? America will pass away and I still want to be around. That's my allegiance right there. I'm going to stand with my wife till she don't stand with Jesus. Love you, honey, but I'm standing when the kingdom of heaven comes. Now, my wife stands with Jesus. That's not a problem. But you hear what I'm saying? My relationship with Jesus supersedes everything. And if the world doesn't like me, I'm standing with Jesus. If my insecurities overcome me, I'm standing with Jesus. You have to choose today. Let me get a keyboard player. Come on up here. You have to choose today. We're going to have communion in a second. You have to choose today. I am going to remove myself from the relational power struggles. I am going to remove myself from the relational power struggles. When my husband or wife comes home and says that thing, I'm not going to think, look, I can't let them win. I'm going to humble myself in honor. I'm going to humble myself in honor, trusting that God will exalt me. I'm going to stop looking at life as a zero-sum game. Listen, I'm going to let y'all know something. The Holy Ghost visited us on Friday night. Who was here? The Holy Ghost visited us. And he released the peace of God over so many people. He kind of showed me he's going to do that in Mass today. Come, Holy Ghost. But here's what's going to happen. Kind of get my ushers to bring up the communion. Interesting about communion, it's not just you and Jesus. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You can't partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. He says, shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than God? What's he talking about? We can't provoke him to, we can't have a cup of demons. In it. What? Provoke him to jealousies? Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, look, there's fractions in the church. What's he mean? Y'all are coming against each other. And people say, oh, you can't receive communion in an unworthy manner. What that means is you can't have any sin in your life. Well, I love you and all, but that's highly unlikely. I believe in holiness, but that's highly unlikely. Be a lot of juice left over. No, what's he saying? He's saying, listen, if you don't recognize the body of Christ, don't come up here and say you're part of it. If you're judging other Christians, don't come up here, partake of the Lord's Supper. Because you're saying, look, when I partake of this, I'm part of the same body as everybody else. But you're saying they're not even part of the body. You can't judge other Christians and come and receive communion. Paul went as far to say, that's why some of y'all are dying. I've known of prophetic ministries, just, you know, I'm going to talk very vague right now because I don't want to dishonor anybody. I know of prophetic ministries where they were on the forefront of the move of God on the earth. And when another move began to start, they judged it and died of cancer within a year. To whom much given, much is required. I choose to honor every move of God on the planet. I choose to honor every man of God in this city. I choose to honor every called of God. I choose to honor you today. And this isn't lip service. I choose to honor you. Our whole ministry is about building you up in Jesus Christ. Our lives have to be lives of honor. We have to live our lives not saying, I got a power struggle with my friend here. My whole focus has to be, how can I add value to that person's life? How can I add value to their life? Holy Ghost, lead me. How can I add value to their life? And I tell you, if that's your heart, God will begin to walk you into these things. You get to live a life of just blessing people. And you can just say, you know what? On the other side, Jesus will judge them. I get to just bless. If you're away from God today, if you're in sin, if you have a lifestyle that does not line up with the Word of God, guess what? You get to be right with God today. You get to be right with God today. I don't judge you. Jesus will. I won't. I'm not judging you. Judgment will happen, but it's not going to be today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you still breathe, and you got a chance. Here's what I want us to do. I want you just to begin to pray right now and ask the Lord, Lord, what relationships do I need to make right? I want to be that super friend. I want to be the one who blesses. I don't want my self-image tied to what other people think about me. Thank you, Jesus.